I drank my cup of tea, thanked him for the information, and left ahead of him. I had the stuff in a package of cigarettes and was ready to throw it in the water-filled gutter. Sure enough, there was a burly young man in a white trench coat standing in a doorway. When he saw me, he started sauntering up the street ahead of me. Then he turned a corner, waiting for me to walk past so he could fall in behind. I turned and ran back in the opposite direction. When I reached 6th Avenue, he was about 50 feet behind me. I vaulted the subway turnstile and shoved the cigarette package into the space at the side of a gum machine. I ran down one level and got a train up to the square. Bill Gaines was sitting at a table in the cafeteria. He was wearing one stolen overcoat and another lay on his lap. He looked sly and satisfied. Old Bart was there, and an unemployed cab driver named Kelly, who hung around 42nd Street and sometimes picked up a few dollars peddling condoms, and with a routine of hitting commuters for 50 cents, which is one variety of the short con. I told them about the agent, and old Bart went down and picked up the stuff. Gaines looked annoyed and said pettishly, "For God's sake, watch whose money you pick up. If I hadn't picked up Ray's money, I'd be on my way to the federal building." "Well, be careful." We waited around for Bart, and Kelly began telling a long story about how he told off a guard in the Tombs. Bart was back soon with the stuff. He reported that a guy in a white trench coat was still walking around on the station platform. I gave Bart 2 caps under the table. Gaines and I walked over to his room to take a shot. "Really?" he said. "I'm going to have to tell Bart I can't carry him any longer." Gaines lived in a cheap rooming house in the West 40s. He opened the door to his room. "You wait here," he said. "I'm going to get my works." Like most junkies, he kept his works and caps stashed somewhere outside his room. He came back with the works, and we both took a shot. Gaines was aware of his talent for invisibility, and at times he felt the need for holding himself together so he would at least have enough flesh to put a needle in. At these times, he would assemble all his claims to reality. Now he began rummaging around in the bureau and brought out a worn manila envelope. He showed me a discharge from Annapolis for the good of the service, an old dirty letter from my friend, the captain, a card to the Masons, and a card to the Knights of Columbus. "Every little bit helps," he said, indicating these credentials. He sat for a few minutes, silent and reflective. Then he smiled. "Just a victim of circumstances," he said. He stood up and carefully put away his envelope. "I've about burned down all the pawn shops in New York. You don't mind pawning these coats for me, do you?"